be here tonight and appreciate everyone that's here. Before I get to the theme, yesterday was Veterans Day, and I would like to make a few comments on Veterans Day before I cover the theme. And I'm on an email list of a group that publishes patriotic and spiritual emails, and some of you may have heard of it, American Minute, but he's got some pretty good stuff, and I got several quotes I'd like to read from what he put out yesterday dealing with Veterans Day. And okay, he's quoting Dwight Eisenhower, who was a former president. But Eisenhower continued, "The tragedy of echoing runs through all history, and indeed," let me start up there. "But in many lands, the state claims to be the author of human rights." Eisenhower continued, "The tragedy of that claim runs through all history and indeed dominates our own times. If the state gives the rights, it can and inevitably will take away those rights. Without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first and most basic expression of Americanism." And this was, and then Eisenhower goes on and says, "Veterans realize perhaps more clearly than others the prior place that Almighty God holds in our national life, and they can appreciate through personal experience that the really decisive battleground of American freedom is in the hearts and minds of our own people." President Dwight Eisenhower concluded, "Each day we must ask that Almighty God will set and keep His protecting hand over us." My grandfather served in World War I, and he really didn't talk about it around me that much, although he, so much of the time that I knew him, he'd had a stroke and he couldn't understand him. But he'd gone over and served in some of the heaviest fighting over in France and some of those areas where the war was going on. Certainly he was made that sacrifice and being over there. And Veterans Day is about remembering those who served and not those who died. He did come back. Okay, here's a poem that is written by Charles Michael Providence. U.S. Army wrote this poem. "It is the soldier, not the minister, who's given us freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who's given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who's given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who's given us the freedom to protest. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, who's given us the right to a fair trial. It is the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag." And so we'll stop there, but certainly we appreciate our heritage and those who have served and fought and bled for this country and for the rights that we have. Now, to get into the theme, first statement in there, and I'm just breaking this down a little bit, but it is by the prayers of the righteous that you are spared. And we just want to mention a few things, the importance of prayer and having a praying people. And certainly the prayers that are offered, we know that the Revolutionary War was basically won because of our churches. It was the churches that called the people to arms, and it was the churches that prayed for the people. And this was noted over in Great Britain or England, that the people over here did a lot of praying. And, the thought was that on the British side that maybe we should pray some more. But they didn't. And the Lord blessed those who were involved in this endeavor, that their prayers were answered. One of my favorite stories from the Old Testament comes from the 20th chapter of the second book of Chronicles. It's about a king of Judah that was named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat's line was being invaded by a confederation of three kingdoms. And they were much more powerful than he was. And they didn't feel like they had a chance to win. And so they called a day of fasting and prayer. And they prayed, and the Lord answered them and told them that the battle would be his, and that they were to go out and meet the army the next day. And I'm not even sure they armed themselves, but they went, and they took singers, and they took people who danced before them as they went, and then they just made it a worshipful experience as they went to meet the opposing army. And when they got there, there wasn't any of them alive. All they had was dead bodies there. And it turns out that they got to fighting amongst themselves. And they killed each other off. But, when I think of this, I think of the tremendous amount of faith that Jehoshaphat must have had to carry that out. We've all heard of the story of a man or a boy that was hanging on a limb over a cliff, and he kept calling for help, and he kept calling to God for help, and the Lord finally said, "Well, let go." And he thought about a moment, and said, "Is there anybody else up there?" And sometimes we're that way. We want God's help, but we don't have the faith to trust Him. And so Jehoshaphat, they went to the Lord in prayer and fasting, and the Lord spoke through one of their priests, and the people were very appreciative. They bowed and they thanked the Lord, and they went and did as they were told to do, and the Lord delivered them, and I really have liked that story. Another person that I would hold up would be one of our founding fathers, James Madison. James Madison first went, I think it was Princeton, but he went to college to become a minister. And while there, he decided he thought he could maybe serve the nation better as a lawyer, and he went on and became a lawyer. But here he had some very religious people involved, and James Madison was the one who wrote our Constitution. So the Lord, and time again, the Lord worked through the people. They were praying people. They were believing people. And then the Lord recognized that, and he blessed them. One of the things that we do is we pray for our sick. And, you know, many times our sick are blessed. And so certainly we know that the Lord answers our prayers as well. And I want to turn to the book of Ether, to the 5th chapter. And, okay, verse 36. Okay, and what? And again, I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world, even to the laying down of the life for the world, that thou mightest take it again to prepare a place for the children of men. That's verse 33, then 34. Now I know that this love which thou hast for the children of men is charity. Wherefore, except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. Wherefore, I know by this thing that thou hast said that if the Gentiles have not charity because of our weakness, thou wilt prove them and take away their talent, even that which they have received, and give to them who have more abundantly. And it came to pass that I prayed to the Lord that He would give the Gentiles grace that they might have charity. And it seems to me that this prayer has been answered. To me, the American people are some of the most generous people, you know, on the earth today. And that when disaster strikes, or not only in our nation but other nations, our people have been very charitable. And I appreciate that prayer, that this prayer which was offered probably 3,000 or 4,000 years ago is being answered today in our nation. The world. Therefore, if you will cast out the righteous from amongst you, then the Lord will not stay His hand. Okay, and that's the second part of our theme today. And the thing that, the first thing that comes to mind is prayer in school. You know, we've kind of banned that in school. And it's been banned, and we started having shootings in school. And now we have to have armed policemen in school in order to protect our children, because prayer has been cast out of school, and in many cases, even complete mention of Jesus Christ's name. And we're seeing that in various parts of our nation today, that we're not wanting prayer or any mention of Christian religion. It's okay to mention some other belief or religion, but Christianity is being very much banned, and those who do have, and who do believe in Jesus are pretty much forbidden to display that belief. And we're seeing it in not only in our schools but in the workplace. We're seeing it in the courts of our land and in the legislative halls that Christianity is pressed. And so we are casting out the, in an indirect way, I guess we're not forbidden them to go, but they're certainly not being allowed to express their faith. And also, in this chapter 8 deals with the city of Ammoniah, and Alma and Amulek were preaching in that nation, and the people didn't receive it. they were angry. And they drove the people out, and some they rounded up and burned with fire. And so they, then you get to the third part, that then the Lord will not stay his hand, but in his fierce anger he will come out against them. And you shall be smitten by famine and by pestilence and by the sword, and the time is in his hand, except you repent. And this was what was told to those people. And it came true. And in a short period of time, the Lamanites invaded the land and invaded that city. And I think they killed every person there. But first of all, they cast the people out. And then the Lord dealt with them. And something similar that happened with the Zoramites, who wouldn't allow people, the poor, to pray in their, I guess you'd call it a worship center. I'm not sure. I think they called it a synagogue, but they had this tower built, and they wouldn't allow, except for people who were up there, who were on part of their group, to use it. And so those people apostatized and went over and joined the Lamanites and started a war, and many people were killed. And so, once again, the people were cast. When they cast out the people, there were consequences. Now, in Missouri, when the saints were up at far, well, first of all, they were in Independence, and they were cast out of Independence. And the, during, and General Donovan, Joseph Smith prophesied to General Donovan that the day would come that there'd be nothing standing but the chimneys. And, that happened. The residents here burned many of the saints' homes, and their homes in turn were burned. They cast out the saints, and they themselves were ordered to leave the land by General Ewing during the order number 11. And you can read the accounts of the Missouri people who were cast out of Jackson County and the adjoining counties, and the suffering that they had, and how they felt about it, and yet they did this very same thing to the saints, and so we have a situation where it happened to them. Also, in the Civil War, the saints were driven out of far west and out of Missouri. And in the Civil War, Missouri was one of the hardest hit states in the nation. They didn't have the big armies like they did back in Virginia, but the fighting was just as fierce and just as bad here as any place else. In fact, maybe worse than most other places. And so the Lord did not spare the people. I also took note of the five civilized tribes of the Indian nations that were back east in the Carolinas and Georgia, and I think also Florida and Tennessee and several of those areas. And the whites wanted their land, and so they were forced to remove to Oklahoma. And these people were trying to live by white men's ways, and they were doing the things that the white, going to white men's school and adopting white man religion, and they were doing things. But General Jackson didn't want them there, and he wanted their land. And this occurred about the same time the saints were being driven out of far west, 1836, 1837, somewhere in there, which is the 1838, which is about the time the saints were being driven out of Far West. What was happening? It was under Jackson's orders that they were being driven out. It was under President Jackson that the saints were. He didn't order it, but he didn't do anything to help either. That they were driven out of Jackson County. Now, when the saints were driven out of Missouri, Martin Van Buren was president, and the saints made a appeal to him, and he refused to happen. And also the Cherokees and the Native Americans made appeal to Martin Van Buren, and he didn't, and also Jackson, and they didn't do anything to help them. And during the Civil War, of course, Atlanta was burned, and General Sherman went through Georgia just doing a terrible amount of damage. And, it may have been that if they'd treated the saints differently, maybe there would have been no Civil War. And so we have these divisions going on. Now, I want to go a little bit to the parable of the wheat and tares, which is found in Matthew. And it's in the 13th chapter. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said it to him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hast it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow both together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first the wheat into my barn, and the tares are bound in bundles and burnt. And then he goes on to give the interpretation. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, or the destruction of the wicked. The reapers are the angels, are the messengers sent from heaven. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, or the destruction of the wicked. For within that day, before the Lord of Man shall come, he shall send forth his angels and messengers of heaven, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and men that do iniquity, and shall cast them out amongst the wicked, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, for the world shall be burned with fire. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ear to hear. Let him hear. But, the saints like being together, and that's part of the gathering. And we know there will come a time of gathering. But until that time comes, we're told that we live with those who are not righteous. And I suppose, we all know people, and we have friends and family members and people we associate with who are not part of the wheat. And you know, if the Lord was to remove them too soon, then we would be offended, and when we would be angry with God. But He's allowing us to grow together, and until we become strong enough that we desire the things of the kingdom. And so it is that we grow up with those of the world, and then we deal with them daily. Now there will come a time when the Lord will gather from all nations, and wherever that His people are, He will gather them out. And He will bring them here. And in fact, the command has been given to gather. And many of you here have done that. In fact, there's probably more in this room today that have gathered than have were born and raised here. Can I see the hands of those who have gathered since 1984? Will you please raise your hands? See, it's probably just very few who has not. So, you know, and we have a good representation in the restoration branches of those who've gathered in. And, you know, so we got this gathering going on. And I want to go to section 98. And read the parable that is given there. And this is from in 6a, 98, 6a. Now I will show unto you a parable, that you may know my will concerning the redemption of Zion. A certain nobleman had a spot of land, very choice, and he said unto his servants, Go ye into my vineyard, even upon this very choice piece of land, and plant 12 olive trees, and that would be Zion. And set watchmen round about them, and build a tower, that one may overlook the land round about to be a watchman upon the tower, that mine olive trees may not be broken down when the enemy shall come to spoil, and take unto them sheaves the fruit of my vineyard. Now the servants of the nobleman went thither, Lord commanded them, and planted the olive trees, and built the hedge round about, and set watchmen, and began to build a tower. And while they were yet laying the foundation thereof, they began to say among themselves, And what we have my Lord need of this tower? And consulted for a long time, saying amongst themselves, What need hath my Lord of this tower, seeing this is a time of peace? And this last phrase, seeing this is a time of peace, makes me think that does not apply to Joseph Smith's day, because there never was any peace in his day. This revelation was given, I think, after the time that Edward Park region and the other fellow was tarred and feathered, and they had an ultimatum to leave the area and by their original settlers of the land. But in our day, we've not been under that kind of a threat. And outside of maybe getting occasional, these people occasionally preaching against us, you know, that's about as far as it goes. But he says, this is a time of peace. And so I'm thinking more that this is our day. Might not this money be given to the exchangers? For there's no need of these things. And while they were at variance one with another, they became very slothful, and they hearkened not to the commandments of their Lord. And That also sounds like our day. And the enemy came by night and broke down the hedge, and the servants of the nobleman arose and were frightened and fled. And the enemy destroyed their works and broke down the olive trees. And they came by night at a time of darkness. And certainly the scriptures are that the night was coming. And so the night came and they came in and broke down and then basically changed everything. And it says the servants of the nobleman were frightened and fled. And I kind of wonder if that wouldn't be us, because we left and came into the restoration branches. But now we get to verse 7. Now behold, the nobleman of the Lord of the vineyard called upon his servants and said unto them, Why, what is the cause of this great evil? Ought ye not to have done even as I commanded you? And after ye planted a vineyard and built a hedge round about and set watchmen upon the walls thereof, built a tower also and set a watchman upon the tower and watched over my vineyard and not have fallen asleep, lest the enemy should come upon you. And I'm going to skip down on this long reading. And the Lord of the vineyard said to one of the servants, Go and gather together the residue of my servants, and take all the strength of mine house, which are my warriors, my young men, and they that are middle age also among all my servants, who are the strength of mine house, save only those whom I have appointed to tarry. And once again, I just had you raise your hands if you had come in, if you gathered in. And to me, that's fulfillment of this verse. That we've had people come in here from all over the country. And they've been in a source of strength to the restoration branches, and have provided much needed ministry and strength. And then we have, and if these things had not happened, I don't know that there would be restoration branches. Therefore, get ye straightway into my land, break down the walls of mine enemies, throw down their tower, and scatter their watchmen. And inasmuch as they gather together against you, avenge me of my enemies, that by and by I may come with the residue of my house and possess the land. And the servant said unto the Lord, When shall these things be? And he said unto his servant, When I will go ye straightway and do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And this shall be my seal and blessing upon you, a faithful and wise steward in the midst of mine house, a ruler in my kingdom. And his servants went straightway and did all things whatsoever his Lord commanded him. And after many days, all things were filled. And we know that many times a day is interpreted to mean a year. And so I don't think anyone would argue that this has been going on for many years. Okay, and then he says, I must gather together my people according to the parable of the wheat and tares, that the wheat may be secured and the garners to possess eternal life. And be crowned with celestial glory when I shall come in my kingdom my Father to reward every man according as work shall be. So this gathering will take place, and the angels will be sent to take those who don't gather in. And I'm just going to read that from Matthew. This comes from Matthew 24. For the Son of Man shall come, and he shall send his angels before him with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the remainder of his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. And then shall be fulfilled that was that which is written, that in the last days two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one taken and the other left. And what I say unto one, I say unto all men, watch therefore, for you know not at what hour your Lord doth come. So there will be, so before the day comes, there will be a gather, you know, the elect, those who have not gathered in, though the Lord will send his angels for. So we need to be very mindful. And there will be a, and as I said, there will be a great gathering. Now, I want to read from the 12th chapter, one verse from the 12th chapter of the of 2 Nephi. Okay, and verse 20. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day they that are fully ripening iniquity, they shall perish. But that's not what I was looking for. I'm not seeing it, so I'll just paraphrase it. But in the 12th chapter of Nephi, it talks about there being a division amongst the people. And certainly this goes along with the parable of the wheat and the tares, that the Lord will divide the wheat from the tares. And we're seeing that division taking place today, as in our nation, as the nation is becoming more and more separated and more polarized into one camp or another. And so it is that these things are happening, and we are living in the last days. Things are happening, and the Lord is watching over and blessing his people. I think that's where I'll stop, and certainly may the Lord bless each and every one of us.